First John chapter 5. Amen. I don't have to worry about being the mean preacher today. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, we're going to read one verse and just throw a fit for a little bit. Amen. It's good to see our esteemed colleague, Brother David Epps, here today. Amen. Good to see he made it in. Nobody even let him in here. He made it in here by himself. Amen. Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 12, people say the King James Bible is hard to understand. This verse, there ain't even a two-syllable word in here. Take your thinking caps off. Amen. Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's something different about somebody that has life. Hey, there's something different about somebody that has the Son. Amen. You are different if you're saved. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for a good meeting this week. God, as we open this book, we're totally dependent upon Thee. God, help us speak to hearts, especially the hearts of these young folk here today. God, if there's any here that's not saved, make it easy for them to get saved here today. And God, will thank you and praise you and give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach a message to you here this morning that I heard somebody else preach. Amen. Everybody does that anyhow. But I want to preach probably the greatest message that I've ever heard in a church service. We went to Brother Alan Ryman's church. I don't know how many years ago it's been now. We go every August. But Brother Ryman up there in Delaware, if you've never met him, you need to meet him sometime in your life. Amen. Just to fulfill your life. Amen. But he had an old guy in his church that when we got there, me and Brother Danny Hall, we was there together, that Brother Ryman asked us to go over and pray for the old fellow. He had had leukemia. And his lungs filling up with fluid, heart failure, and the old guy was dying. And he asked us to go over. So me and Brother Danny drove over to this old guy's house in the church, and he was kind of one of them pillars of the church. And when we got to the house and walked in, he had all kind of family members were there. They'd sent him home from the hospital. And when we walked in, he was sitting in his recliner. And old Pop Coleman, he seen me and Brother Danny walk in. And he looked at us with tears in his eyes, and he said, I'm going home, boys. Amen. Let me ask you, can you die like that? And me and Brother Danny said, you know, we come pray for you, Pop. We've heard about this, and we want to, you know, we love you. And, man, we cried, and then we knelt down there, and Brother Danny and I knelt down right by his chair. And we started praying for him, and the old guy reached down, and he put his hands on our heads and started praying for us. He was going, oh God, bless Brother Mark, Brother Danny, and boy, it was just like a window opened up in heaven in that little living room, and God Almighty met with us. Amen. Boy, there's something about right there and that saint's getting ready to go out into glory. There's something real there. And man, we prayed with him, started the meeting that next day. We have a Sunday to Sunday meeting there in Delaware, and we missed him. Church is split right down the middle here, and he sat over here on this side about two pews in, and we missed him all week. And he was at home, man, he couldn't get around. And the last day of the meeting, I was sitting on the front row, and I was getting ready to preach that morning. I had a tape measure on my belt, and I was going to preach on death. And the Bible said the days of our years are 70, of our years and strength 80. And you take that tape measure out to 80 inches. And then subtract your age from that. Amen. I mean, some of y'all, it's the... I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. But if you can't walk up a flight of steps... Amen. Then there's other factors that you can factor in. How you eat. I don't spend long on that point because it's my message. Amen. And I don't even like skinny people. But how you drive. Amen. Some of y'all, man, you're on borrowed time now. Amen. Or just being dumb. Amen. The redneck's famous last words. Hey, boys, watch this. I'll jump off the top of the garage. But, man, you start factoring things in your life, you're down about that much. And some folks that much. Some people in here, you're down about like that. Amen. And when you talk about death, it's a reality. It could happen. It could happen to anybody in here. And I had that. I was going to preach, and we heard a noise in the back, and in come old Pop Coleman. He couldn't stand it. He couldn't stay away no longer. And I looked back, heard a noise, and I went, hey, there he is. And I went, oh. And I had all that message prepared on death. Well, here he comes. He's going to die at any minute. And I said, boy, I can't preach that now, man. The guy's got 40 family members sitting there. And I'm going to preach, you're going to die. And there he's sitting there. Yeah, no kidding. And I'm thinking, no, Lord, I can't do this now. And the Lord says, no, you preach that. And there was 9 folks got saved that morning. And here was the message. Here's the message. He's sitting over here on this side, 2 pews in, about like where Brother Tab is. No pun. He's an old man or anything. You just happen to be sitting there. Skinny too, yeah. But during the invitation, this old guy's got heart failure, lungs filled with fluid. He jumps up out of his seat, and he starts running in front of that church, about 350 people. And he's running like this, and his wife's over there going, oh, no. And he runs in front of the church, and he starts going, better be real. You better make sure it's real. You better be saved. Better be real. The man, tears going down his face, and I'm going to tell you something. That's possibly the greatest message I've ever heard in my life. You say, why? From a dying man, amen, to his church, his family. I mean, what are you going to say to him? You think he's going to be embarrassed? No, he's dying. Amen. Man, what a message. So now, hey, everywhere I go, I told his wife, I said, I'm going to preach that everywhere I go. And the last time I saw her, I got the count out. 570-something people have been saved by preaching this little simple message. Say, what's that message? That old man going, better be real. Better make sure it's real. You know why? I see a lot of people that it ain't real. Amen. You say, you telling me I ain't saved? Yeah. Amen. There's a lot of folks sitting in our churches that have never been saved. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. Hey, something happened when I got saved. Some things changed. Hey, business picked up. Amen. Got my hair cut. Amen. Quit the cussing. Almost quit all my fighting. Still working on that one. Amen. But a lot of it went out. I ain't been in a fight in a few years. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, there's something changes. And nowadays, some folks, it just ain't real. And the young people that we got sitting here, let me ask you, is it real? Are you saved? Man, when we got saved, I was an oddball at PBI. I didn't go there to go to Bible school. I went to Pensacola because I got thrown in jail and lost everything I had. And my cousin and them were living there, and my aunt and uncle was living there. And my mom and dad had moved down there. My dad retired. And I went down there because my mom says there's jobs down here in Florida, son, if you want to get your life straightened out. And my daddy bailed me out of jail, and I went down there. I didn't go there to go to school. When I went down there, everybody made me nervous. They all looked like cops. Huh? And you say, where were you? Let me say number one. Here, if it's real, you'll know where you were when you got saved. You'll know the place. You might not remember the date, but you'll remember where you were when you got saved. Somebody told me one time, said a lady was in a meeting. She said, Brother McGahee, I hear what you say, but I just feel like I've always been saved. I said, no, ma'am. No. No, no, no. No! You ain't always been saved. You got to come a time in your life when you was lost and then get saved. Amen. Boy, don't you hate it when people go to sleep on you when you're preaching? Hey! Wake up! Wake up! It's preaching time! Woo! Anybody else asleep? I hope that threw a chill on things. Amen. Don't go to sleep! Wake up! Remember where you were when you got saved? Huh? You wasn't just dreaming that. I said that during preaching a minute ago. Amen. You old guys, Brother Harry, you can go to sleep if you want to. But you remember where you were when you got saved. If I went through here right now and asked everybody in here where you were when you got saved, could you tell me? We were at Brother Pee Wee Hayes. Remember old buddy Spurgeon Hayes? We started a meeting there for Brother Spurgeon. And he started out the meeting like that. He has a little church, about 25 people. He goes, they call him Pee Wee, and he's 6'4". 3-2er man, Vietnam, sergeant, recon. And he started out his meeting. This is what he said. He says, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to point at you, and you're going to tell me where you were when you got saved. He said, no testimony. I don't want to hear about grandma's biscuits. Huh? I don't want to hear about a little cabin by the side of the road. Just tell me where you were. And he just started pointing at everybody in there. What if we did that here? Would you have a place? Man, I couldn't wait till he got to me. I'm never. Man, I wanted to tell. Amen. There was an old guy standing there, and I don't know if you remember the old fellow there in his church. He had the palsy. And he pointed at him. He says, where were you, sir, when you got saved? That old man looked up. And his head, he couldn't keep his head still, and a tear went down his face. And he said, Omaha Beach. Boy, I'm telling you. You could have heard a pin drop in there. And Brother Hayes says, tell us about it. He said, us old boys said we stormed the beachhead that day and them Higgins boats. And he said when they dropped the planks on them boats, said them bullets was hitting around in there and said they was going through us. He said you could see them coming from the beachhead. You could see them and they was hitting inside them boats going through. He said by the time we got out of the Higgins boats, it was full of water and blood. He said, and we got out in the foam and went to the beach and started crawling up the surf. Said we were crawling in other men's blood and entrails. And he said there was many young men called on God that day. Amen. You know what that was? That was real. Amen. Sitting in here, let me ask you, is it real? You boys, is it real? Can you take me to the place? I was in a little church. We was in West Virginia there in Strange Creek, West Virginia. Everything's strange in West Virginia. But there's a church there, and I did that in that little church. I just pointed everybody in there. And we just started going through there, and I got all the way in the back there about where Sister Lake is. And I said, young lady, where were you? And there was a man and a woman sitting, and I could hear that woman go, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And that was that girl's mama sitting right here. And that girl, she hesitated and she said, I was in my room and my mama had talked to me and I knelt by my bedside after my mama walked out of the room and I asked Jesus to save me. And that mama's going, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I asked her after the service, I said, was that your girl? She said, yeah, that was my girl. She said, I've never heard her testimony, whether or not she was saved or not. Some of you sitting in here, we don't know, because we have never heard your testimony. Never heard. So what are you saying? Better be real. Better be real. Who would it be here? Who would it be out of Glory Land? Amen. Brother Charlie, find out. I mean, man, he's had heart attacks and back and all that. He's on borrowed time, right? What if they told Brother Charlie he got one more week? Don't you think there'd be some of you folks that he'd be worried about? Amen. What about Miss Myra? Amen. Could you walk over her prayers? Could you step right over? Could you just kind of jaywalk right over her heart? Amen. You boys, Brother Maynard, toil over you and them fellas that help out. Amen. What if that last chance they got with you before you leave? Son, are you sure? Do you know if you're saved or not? If not, make it real. Amen. Can I tell you where I was? I was going to anyway, but I figured I'd ask you. Me and Dee, I'm ashamed to admit it. Well, he done ruined that floor there, you know it. I don't know where Brother Coley is, but he's ruined this carpet. But me and Dee, we had gotten into the drug culture. And a lot of us sitting in here, we wasn't raised in church. Got in the drug culture, and that stuff took us down a deep, dark rabbit hole and wound up in jail. I'm going to tell you something, boys. You want to be a tough guy, do you? I found out in jail all the tough guys ain't what they all cracked up to be. Amen. I hung around with some of the tough guys. And I can tell you something. They cry when they get thrown in jail just like anybody else does. Amen. And most of them now, Brother Charlie, all of our old buddies, they're all dead. They're all gone. They've rotted their guts out. And we escaped out of that mess. And in jail, the first time God ever dealt with me was in the jailhouse. Let me ask you this. You boys, let me ask you, can you tell me the first time the Holy Ghost ever dealt with you? Can you tell me about that conviction that first time, you girls? Amen. Are we raising grandkids in the children of God? There isn't any. Everybody must be a child of God. Amen. And in jail, I was laying there in the jail, and the deputy sheriff came down there, and he said, hey, McGahee, your dad's here to bail you out. I said, is he mad? Here I am. We're married and got a baby. I'm like, is he mad? The sheriff said, no, son, he's here to bail you out. I said, you don't understand. You all will arrest him for killing me. You don't understand. And there's an old guy, Brother Harry, that was laying across from me in my bunk. And he was one of them old, you know, he said, you know, the state police probably kill us before we get out of here. You know that, no, they kill 3 or 4 inmates every year. He was one of them kind of guys. He looked up and he goes, son, you better go. He said, that's your daddy. And I rolled out of that bunk, walked across there, and they got a round thing you step in. And they pull a big iron bar out, and they spin you around, and you walk up the incline to the sheriff's office. And I walked up there. My hair was down to here. The mess in my life. And I thought, man, I have done it. Man, I have messed up everything that I've ever touched. And I said, my dad, they'll shoot him up there. He'll be mad. And I walked up in the sheriff's office, looked across that big, long desk, and there stood my daddy. And he had tears in his eyes. He looked, he said, you all right, son? I said, yeah, I'm all right, Dad. He said, well, I've come to get you out of here, boy. And I walked out with my daddy. And that was the first time in my life that I ever seen a little glimpse of the love of God. You hear me? You know how much God loves you, son? You know how much? And we got out of there that day. My wife was there. It was 10 inches of snow on the ground. We're driving down the highway. And down the highway, here comes Dee's sister running. Dee said, there's Penny. And she pulled over, and Penny was crying. And she said, Daddy's gone. Daddy's dead. And my father-in-law died about the same time they let me out of jail, Brother Charlie. Boy, you talk about my life turning upside down. And Dee jumped out, and she goes, they're going to get their other sister, Cindy. And I said, I'll go down the holler. We lived in Hoburg Holler. And my dad drove me down, and my dad looked at the holler road, and he said, I can't drive down that road, son. It's too rough. He said, but them's your people. You better go. And I stepped out of the car with no coat, no shoestrings in my shoes, no belt, and I walked about a mile and a half down that snowy road down there to where my father-in-law laid. He tried to push the car in the snow, and he was laying there in the ditch. And I walked up, and there was two or three farmers there. I forget their names now, but they were standing around there, and I walked up there. And I looked over there at him, and I looked at them fellas, and I said, he ain't there. I said, Jake was a saved man. I said, he's in heaven right now. And them guys told me later when I got saved and started preaching, they said, Mark, we remember your first message. It is right down there in the holler when Jake died. And my mom wrote a letter from Pensacola, Florida. And Miss Myra, she's back yonder, but I showed her a picture a few years ago at camp. It was me and Dee sitting there, and I had a little goatee and hair long. And I was sitting there, and I told Miss Myra, I said, Miss Myra, pray for this couple. We've been trying to deal with this couple. She looked at that picture, and she looked at it for a minute, and got tears in her eyes. She said, oh, I remember that. She said, Brother Mark, I remember your mama standing up at Bible Baptist asking prayer that her boy is coming down here. Amen. So they prayed for me. That was 1982, April of 82. In June of 82, my mom, we rode a bus, got there, had 16 cents in my pocket when I got to Pensacola. Borrowed suitcase, no car, no furniture, no nothing. Got there, my mom come picked us up, and she said, son, she said, me and your daddy's in church now. My dad started hearing Dr. Ruckman preaching, and he got back in church. And they were going and said, you got to go with us on Sunday morning if you're going to stay with us. And I told my mom, I said, fair deal, Mom. I did not take in consideration the old preacher man. And that old preacher literally preached the hell out of me. Called me names. Hey, stupid. Hey, dummy. Hey, dopey dope. How's it going this morning, man? You hungover, are you? Huh? Been doing the dope, have you? Hey, you're going to dope yourself right to hell, stupid. I sat there. I said, boy, this is fun. I'd look over at my uncle and my dad, and they'd have their heads down like it. I went a few Sundays there. One Sunday, he looked up and he goes, hey, you long-haired punk, I'm preaching to you. I looked around. I go, well, I'm the only one in here with long hair. Everybody else looks like a cop. They all did. They all had little pamphlets in their pockets and short hair, and they all looked like policemen to me. Man, I sat there just, I mean, out of place, out of sorts. Amen. But then one Sunday morning, boys, listen, he stepped out from the pulpit and he put both hands out and he described in detail what Jesus Christ looked like when he died on the cross. Hey, boys, I'd never seen it on that fashion. That old man told how they put a blindfold on him and how they hit him in the face to where the Bible said his visage was marred more than the sons of men, unrecognizable. Told how they spit on him. And that old preacher would cry, and his hands would shake. And then he told how that cat of nine tails, told how they took and beat him with that, and how them pieces of leather with stone and pieces of metal would stick in your flesh, and they'd turn and they'd pull it and rip furrows through your flesh. And man, I'm sitting there that Sunday morning, and I could feel that. And that old preacher preached and cried. And then he gave the invitation, and he pointed right down at me. You say, why? Man, I'd been coming. He knew I was lost. They told him about me. You say, well, you ought not single nobody out. You preach the way you want to. Amen. Thank God he did. And he pointed at me. He pointed over at me and he goes, how are you going to refuse that, man? And that Sunday morning, I couldn't refuse no more. I said, God, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I know I'm lost. Will you save me? You know what he did? He did. Hey, I'm saved. Hallelujah. Thank God. Washed in the blood. Justified. And I'm going to tell you, it's real, buddy. Just as real as anything I've ever had. Is it with you? You girls, you going to let some flop-eared mutt come along and pull you out of the work of God? Huh? Boys, you gonna let a joint? You gonna let smoking dope get you out? Little crystal meth, is that how cheap you buy out? Hey, it's real! You got nowadays traveling around, I don't know, some folks, man, we're losing these young couples. We're losing them. They're marrying idiots! Or the boys are marrying idiots. Amen. I'm telling you, we can tell you stories and make your hair curl. Amen. Traveling around the country, swapping couples. I'm telling you, wicked. Never been real. You say, well, I'm just quiet. No, you're weird. Amen. You say, well, I just don't say amen. You're weird. Amen. It ain't real. Better be real. Better be real. Who'd be your Pop Coleman? Amen. I got other points here, but that's sufficient. Amen. Let me ask you something. Is it real in your life? Can you sleep through all the messages? Or just mine? Do you sleep through Brother Coley's too? Amen. Is it real? Let me ask you, have you ever been saved by the blood? Washed in the blood? Can you take me to the place? If you're not saved here today, why don't you come and get saved? Why in the world would you wait? He's talking about a preacher, you mentioned a preacher's name, sitting in there, and I won't mention his name, but we were in a meeting there in Canada when his wife got saved. Pastor's wife. She got up and she walked over. You were there. She walked over to some of us preachers. She goes, I just got saved. Wow! Said, what'd you do? We didn't sit down and say, wait a minute. Let's analyze this. Let's see here. No, man, we just rejoice. There's Janet. Brother Charlie's pastoring in Hacker Valley. I don't want to get any of this wrong. Miss Janet went to American Baptist Church. About 5 years old, they set you on the front row, filled out a card, and then baptized you. Probably in them hills in Kentucky, Tennessee, and West Virginia, literally tens, hundreds of thousands of people sitting in churches thinking they're saved, where all they've done is filled out a little card. They come to Pell City. Brother Charlie even filled his van up one night in a stupor with diesel fuel. Amen. I was going to say, dumb. Wasn't that dumb? I don't know. It was dark. Amen. But boy, the devil tried to stop them from coming. And they come and Miss Janet on Sunday morning got Miss Dee Dee, just like a meeting, just like this, Brother Charlie, and come forward. And they prayed, me and Brother Charlie, we didn't think much about it. They were boo-hooing and squalling. And she got up, me and Brother Charlie were together on the front row, and Janet looks at him and says, I just got saved. And man, we, wow! Wow! We all shouted, amen. She went back to the Hacker Valley, and how many got saved? Some of her family members, one of your sisters. Amen. What if you got saved? What would happen? Amen.
He said, you don't know if I'm saved. I could almost take a laser pointer and point you out. Yep. Is there one in here? That's in there. I wonder. Let me do it like this. Let me ask you all like this. Heads bowed just for a moment. How many would say, Brother Mark, I believe that you need to have an invitation right now? How many of y'all like that? Slip your hand up. Anybody like that? All right. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you something. Why would you wait? Why don't you come now? Get the thing fixed. Make it real. You boys, you girls, anybody in here. You say, well, Brother Mark, I just ain't sure. Make sure. Why don't you come? And if you are saved, man alive, come say, Lord, I want it to be real in my life. Amen. The invitation's open. Who'd be first? Who'd be first? Would you come? Would you come? You young folk, man alive, we need you. We need you. Amen. Father, bless this invitation. Oh, God, have your way, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name.